Hi, everyone. This is Bobby Laporte, your host of Leadership Curveballs, Blind Spots, and Black Holes. Each week, we help busy leaders navigate through complex and volatile times with practical solutions for real-life challenges. This week's episode is about managing shifting priorities from the top down, about remaining confident when you don't have all the answers, and our In the Fire special guest, Mike Hamilton from Salesforce, who shares how he embraced the challenge of a sudden role change. So let's get started with our curveball of the week. This week's curveball is about dealing with shifting priorities at work, something that many of us have faced more often than we'd like. So how does this situation sound? You've been working on a strategic initiative with your team that has high visibility in your organization. Your team is really energized and excited about their work on this important project. It has been their focus for several months now, and your peers are envious of the stature and exposure this has given you and your team. So your boss calls you to a meeting, which you think is to compliment you and your team for their hard work and progress they have made on this special project, but instead throws you a curveball and shares that the project is now off the table. The new CEO has a new focus and wants to take a new direction. You are stunned. You know your team will be demoralized and demotivated, and you really worry about the impact that this will have on your stature in the organization. So now what do? Well, in the course of leading in today's business environment of change and uncertainty, this is not an unusual occurrence. It may not happen on this scale every day, but it is easy for this to happen when you are focused on a major project, you're keeping your team on track, you're executing on your plan. It's very normal to get thrown off, to get disappointed and discouraged. But this is just the opposite of what your team needs from you right now. So here's the key question. Are you really willing to start over? In a situation like this, many people will try to leverage what's already done and just slap a new label on it and call it something new. That would definitely be the easy way out. And there's no question that sunk costs, among other concerns, can influence your decision. Even if you don't have to scratch everything your team has done, think about how you can make this turn of events and this new direction an opportunity to create a project that's really unique. Something that really stands out and will be appreciated. So consider who else in the organization has had success with something like this before and could help. Who on your team has knowledge, skills, expertise that they could lend to this new effort? And how can you make this something that your team would feel proud of and not disappointed and would continue to give them visibility in the company? These questions sound time-consuming, but really they aren't. They just make us think differently, and they also build resilience and confidence in you and in your team. The answers will lead you to innovations that make you the go-to resource in the company. And in uncertain times, the new standard of performance is how you produce great outcomes when the heat is on. And we know from neuroscience that taking a positive approach to dealing with issues actually impacts brain cognition and structure. It builds capacity for us to handle future challenges more effectively. We are training our brain at the same time we are developing solutions that have greater and more lasting impact. I know this personally from my Ironman training and racing experience, where what you do sets the stage for what happens next and creates conditions for success down the road. Let's face it, we live in ever-changing and increasingly complex times. With all the challenges that uncertainty creates, it can be difficult to approach your work from a possibilities mindset. Uncertainty and doubt can put us on the defense, avoiding risk instead of embracing opportunity. So the next time the tables are turned on you, get out of the details and disappointment and focus on what's the best next move for you and your team. So that's our curveball of the week. Next up in this episode is our confidence killer of the week, which starts in a few seconds. And we're back with this week's confidence killer. As a leader, people naturally look to you for advice, direction, acknowledgement and inspiration, and of course, answers. This is especially true in changing and uncertain times. You know, as leaders, we're expected to have the answers. Speed, action, decisiveness, they're all valued. And if we don't have the answer, We feel that people, including our staff, peers, our boss, will begin to question our competence and possibly that we are not relevant anymore. And this can be a real confidence killer. But as successful and competent leaders in a changing and uncertain world, our instincts tell us that it's impossible to have all the answers. We can't possibly know how to answer every question that's posed to us, to choose the right course of action, to give clear and informed direction to our team, even as the world shifts and changes around us. Deep in our being, we know this, and yet it feels wrong. It runs against everything we have learned about what it means to be the boss. And our ego is our worst enemy to admitting we don't have the answer. So, how do you retain confidence in the face of not knowing? The strategy I recommend here is to approach challenges from a strengths and capacity angle, focusing on the assets you have available. So, for example, start with your best tools. What do you know? What are your strengths? What are you known for in the organization? How can you apply your best tools in a way that helps you achieve your end result, instead of looking at the problem and wondering where the solution will come from? So consider this example. Your team is at a critical point in a project. They are mired in what we like to call the messy middle, and they can't seem to find a way forward. They come to you and say, "We're stuck. What do we do next?" You wish you had an immediate answer to break through this point of difficulty, to offer them a clear path to the way forward, to reignite their confidence and commitment to the project. But you realize you're not sure of what the exact course of action should be to get them unstuck. So one suggestion is start with what you've done in similar situations in the past. What worked? What did you learn? What are the common denominators that created solutions for you time and time again? Uncertainty changes what you need to know. There's no doubt about that. But you don't need to know the solution, only that you're going to get there. Your role now is to be a navigator in uncharted territory. And navigators are never irrelevant. Not having the answer starts with asking the question, what is the possibility here? And be open to the vulnerability of not knowing. This is the entry point to having a possibilities mindset and to accessing the strengths, talents, and assets available. If you take this approach, you just might find that the best tools to solve a problem are the ones you rely on every day. Deploying and amplifying the best tools in your toolbox, the ones that help you feel confident and competent, helps you get ready for anything. So try it next time and see how it works. That's our confidence killer of the week. But don't go away. In the Fire is up next and starts in a few seconds, featuring our special guest, Mike Hamilton from Salesforce, who will share how he handled a particularly tough challenge. So hi, everybody. We're back with our In the Fire segment. And today we're joined by a very special guest, Mike Hamilton. Mike is a senior director of software engineering at Salesforce. He was previously at MuleSoft. And today he's going to share with us how MuleSoft being acquired by Salesforce presented challenges for him on multiple levels. So Mike, tell us about that experience.
Hi, Bobby. Thanks for having me on the show. So I thought I would talk today a little bit about my experience being acquired. And I'll just paint a brief picture for you here. So I built MuleSoft from scratch from an IT perspective, starting in 2014 and going on through when we were acquired in 2018. And prior to acquisition, you know, I'd done a lot of long-term planning, getting my team lined up for the next year. The company has got its sights set on $1 billion in revenue, and that's all the talk, and we're all psyched for that. You know, when I say all, I mean the whole company, right? Like, you know, you're used to working together across divisions. There's all this partnership mm-hmm. and great things that are coming. And then when the acquisition hits, it's a little bit of a shock. It's a shock for a lot of reasons. It's a shock because it's impossible to know what's going to come out of that, right? Like, you don't exactly know
right
what this means for you. And Salesforce has a stellar reputation as a company, and so that's there, and that's a positive. And it was a favorable acquisition. It was all financially, you know, great and it was a good strategic move for both companies. That's all nice. But being boots on the ground and having it happen to me and having it happen to my team, it's pretty interesting. And you and I were talking about change and how change is the new norm. And I thought that the best way to characterize this is how change also presents opportunity and how what that was like for me going through that. And so with my mind so lined up on where MuleSoft was going, what an acquisition initially means is everything that I thought I was going to do has now changed. Mm-hmm. That all of the planning and the thought and the investment that I had into where we were going and what we were trying to build as an IT department is now on hold, and I'm going to be aligning with something, but I don't yet know what that is. And so when that change first happened, it takes time for starters, just like anything else. You know, change doesn't happen all at once. It happens both in big waves as well as little waves that happen after that. And I really had to think about my mindset, and my chief concern was more than anything my team and the work that we were doing and how they were coping with it. Because from my team's perspective, they were also very excited about the roadmap. They were very excited about where we were going. And although I may have dealt with my elements of the change, I was also worried about their elements of the change too.
Of course.
So there's been, you know, you have one-on-ones, of course, as a regular part of managing people, but it certainly became the topic of every one-on-one going forward. And I think part of the thing that concerned me too, and part of my feelings for my team were that they're probably most concerned about where their roadmap is. Like, where are they going to be? What does this mean for the career development paths we talked about? And how do we pivot and figure out what else is possible? At the same time, though, there's sort of a grieving component as well. No matter how favorable the acquisition is or was, or how you want to view it that way, the reality is that it's still a shock to the system. It's still something that's leaving something behind that you were excited about and going
exactly.
on uncharted territory where you don't control as many variables as you think or that you would hope, right? Like we all get the sense of feeling, like I had the sense, for example, when I ran IT at MuleSoft of understanding my domain and understanding the variables that I had to work with and the levers that I could pull and the buttons that I pushed and how I could leverage those things to develop my people and give them a roadmap. And the acquisition changes all of those things because now I'm in a different domain and then moving into a different role. And so not long after the acquisition, I was offered a role to take over a team inside of Salesforce IT operations. And it was kind of intended to be an interim role anyway, because it was a good fit for my skill set at the time, but there wasn't a lot of clarity on other places that I might go at that point. And so again, you know, coming in and bringing my old team along with me as much as I could, as well as learning to work with this new team that I've been given. And I had the pleasure of working with two great leaders on that team and working with them on where their team was going and how to articulate that and how to build some strategy and value. And that was fun. And it was nice to have the challenge, and it was good to bring that along. I mean, from a mindset perspective, again, it was, you know, change equals opportunity, right? Like, what opportunities mm-hmm. do I have in the scope of this change while I integrate MuleSoft into Salesforce, as well as take on the new challenges in front of me? And having been fortunate to bring in and manage, being brought in to manage a couple of leaders that were already pretty mature was nice, and certainly was able to set them on their direction. But not long after that, a very important opportunity strategically for me was presented, and that was actually to run IT as far as the MuleSoft development side of it went. In other words, how does MuleSoft get used inside of IT at Salesforce? And so I had just changed roles and gotten my team used to changing roles and gotten
here we go again.
Yeah, like here we go again. Here's another change. And then now all of a sudden, you know, here's this bigger opportunity. But the funny part about this opportunity is from all the layers of leadership to all the people on my team, the role obviously made sense. It's like, wow, actually that makes a lot of sense. Mike really yes. should go run MuleSoft at IT, which it makes it a positive, but again, it's still a change. And so going through that change yet again, and trying to understand like, how am I going to shift my mindset now to do this as well as bring my team along was pretty difficult. The other thing that I would say that was pretty interesting me to go through as a part of acquisition is this notion of like, there's a transition in familiarity. So at the early stages of an acquisition, you're still pretty much doing what we were doing before. But as more and more things get integrated, that becomes less and less there. And so there's this element that's both nostalgic and familiar, as well as kind of sad in a way that you're leaving leaving some of your stuff behind and having to get rid of it, and you have a little nostalgia for it. But then there's also a little bit of promise because you're getting rid of some of the things that you didn't necessarily always want to do as well. So this is like this familiar but different thing and this sort of tie back to it. I think in some ways it's easier to either have like a clean, complete 100% change rather than a gradual change or a gradual shift like this. But from where my team was sitting, you know, it's just part of what you go through with an acquisition. And so it's a mindset that you have to get used to. But probably the hardest thing for everybody in this thing was that there's not a clear transition demarc where you say, now this is done, right?
Right. It's evolving all the time.
Yeah. And so it's not like a case where you start a new job. In fact, my joke with the acquisition is that I was hired into a new job without leaving my old job, right? And that's exactly what it feels like in a lot of ways. But the challenges become really interesting because MuleSoft being a growth division inside of Salesforce and inside of IT, because it's a part of the product line now, it becomes a relatively high thing of importance to, mm-hmm. you know, a high area of importance to drive progress forward. So the responsibility and the opportunity sort of combined there to make me excited and make my team excited. So that it's been a really interesting evolution, but I can also say that the emotional swing is something that I didn't totally expect. It's easy to hear a story when somebody goes through this and think like, well, yeah, of course that would happen. But when you're going through it, it's a little bit different because again, there's the nostalgic components of it. There's the challenges in front of you. There's the, my old domain is gone. My new domain is here. And I'm not totally sure, you know, how everything's going to come together. And I don't know the whole landscape as well as I would like, I think sometimes.
And I would guess that's going to continue to be, that kind of uncertainty will continue to be present there, and that it will continue to present, you know, challenges for your team, but also opportunities. You hope that each time this morphs into a, now we're going to be doing X or now we're going to be doing Y, that you and your team have learned from this experience, right? So it'll never be stasis. They'll never be, like you said, we're now done. But I would guess that there'll be more of these challenges ahead, and you hope that people have learned something from that, right? And so that the next time this happens, the pivot maybe won't be quite as dramatic.
Totally. And, yeah. You know, I've definitely learned something that I would affect the way that I would do acquisitions going forward if I'm ever acquired again or if I do another acquisition. I think the perspective is critical. But I think that the comfort of the minds, like the comfort of what's required in the new job comes from this need to build. I'm a builder. My team is all pretty much entirely builders as well. And fortunately, the new role I'm going into is all about building. So there's different things that we're building. We're trying to build a more mature practice inside the company that can do more things and work with the latest versions of the software and hopefully work back with MuleSoft on product development and things like that. And so that's the familiarity. Like if you were to distill this down to the principle level, like what is the principle that allows us to sort of find a true north and go forward, it's that we're all builders and we're here to build something cool and that the answers aren't totally clear. Right. And I would certainly rather be in a build organization where I can come in and do something creative and long-term build some value for the business. So it was really finding that same sort of spark that we had at MuleSoft and finding it inside of Salesforce as well. And for a company this size, especially, Salesforce really is still high growth and still, you know, constantly growing and changing and evolving. And so that feels comfortable as well as the building mentality. So I suppose part of what you can look for in the scenario, like what I'm going through, is the familiarity of the things that you like, the things that you want to do. And is that there? And I'm thankful to have that here to say that, yeah, I'm getting to build something again, you know, and this is great because I'm also bringing some of my team along with me to do it. Yes. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah. No, I think that's really cool. I love the description of the nostalgia part plus promise. I think that's a very, very apt description of what you guys have experienced and probably will continue to experience. So thank you. That was very helpful and I'm sure insightful for our listeners. So thank you, Mike, for your valuable insights and advice. And thanks to our listeners. We hope this week's episode of Leadership Curveballs, Blind Spots, and Black Holes provided you with some practical solutions and insights to the common challenges you face as you navigate your own leadership journey. So join us next week for another episode of Leadership Curveballs, Blind Spots, and Black Holes, and we'll see you then.